In a world where the many flock to watch films made by high-tech computerized film automatrons, there are the few, the hungry, those that won't settle for the Hollywood treatment. These are the filmmakers, the do-it-yourselfers, that tell Tinseltown to fuck off and create the stories themselves. This is not quite canon!
Hey everybody out there in listener world, welcome to Not Quite Canon, the podcast spinoff where I talk about fan films with fans of fandoms. Great start. I'm Michael Hayes this week, and with me this time are two good friends of mine, Pogues and Ben.
Wow, man, Mike, I gotta say that intro is polished.
It's so smooth.
Right? Like, the theme song is a work of art, and then I come in with that real smooth intro, and it's great, right?
My favorite part is you said, this week, I'm Mike Hayes. So sometimes next week, I guess, it's up in the air.
Sometimes it changes. Who knows?
Which personality will you get? I also got to say, Mike, I don't know if that came through for the listener, but the fireworks show at the beginning was really impressive.
Well, you mean the actual sound of fireworks, not just the firework themed kind of theme song that is epic.
Yeah. And the sort of hors d'oeuvres that you have here are just, I mean, they're off the charts. This is really great. This is quite a hosting.
I do what I can. There is a pandemic, but I like to send over ranch and carrots to everyone that gets on the show.
It was a very weird package to get in the mail, but
was everyone's
package? My ranch curdled.
Were they fine? Oh, the ranch was curdled? Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm eating it. We'll find out.
Well, if you vomit halfway through this, we'll...
Yeah, if you hear somebody pass out.
Yeah, it'll probably be because of this. Who knows? Maybe it's because of what we end up doing.
One can hope. Yeah. Every podcast show host, host hopes that.
That someone their vomits on. Throw up.
Yes, from their words. Mm-hmm. It's the highest honor.
Well, I don't think you know how podcasts work.
I would hope you guys do, because you guys host a very great podcast called Not Another Origin Story.
Ayo, name drop.
Yeah, we're doing the plugs right at the beginning here, because people, who knows if they cut out.
See, this is professional. You get them before they get bored and stop listening.
What a starfucker.
I'm mostly worried about the vomit, actually, is going to turn people off.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So yeah, I'm a very violent vomiter.
Good. So unedited take two. So Not Another Origin Story is a podcast where you guys talk about films that are based on comic books. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah. Pogues and I have been, gosh, what, 4 years now? What are we at?
It's been a long time. I'm afraid to even actually look, because I don't know.
Yeah, some absurd amount of time. We have been watching films based on comic book properties, discussing the source material, and analyzing their breakdown. It is a testament to our iron will, because the majority of comic book movies are utter trash.
Mm. Which is why you guys bring me on every once in a while. It's just to watch the worst of the Ooh. Trash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them, a lot of failed attempts at starting up something like the MCU, that stuff kind of swirls down the drain. But you know that little catcher that grabs all that gross stuff in your sink? Those are the films that we bring Mike on for. We're talking like Virus with Jamie Lee Curtis. We're talking like an unreleased Fantastic Four movie. Uh-huh. That's the stuff we get Mike on for.
Oh, yeah. Man-Thing.
Man, yes.
A comic book character no one's heard of, but is one, apparently.
Time Cop 1 and 2.
Oh, Time Cop.
The Berlin Decision. Yeah, great films.
I mean, those
you were just recently on, too.
Yeah, it was a really fun time to be on for Flash Gordon that we just recently talked about.
A revelation for me, personally.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I've never seen it. Can't recommend it enough.
Have to
Queen did the theme song, which makes up about 90% of the soundtrack.
Oh God, it's so sure so. Oh God, it's so good. Just the one song too, right? Like they just kind of repeat one song.
Savior of the universe. Yeah.
So then, though, that means that you guys really do have an enjoyment for, well, you universes.
Well, we
I
did
guess.
Before we started doing the podcast.
Okay, so maybe I got you too late to get you on this thing.
Mike, I think I get what you're trying to say, and yes, we are masters of film analysis. That, mm-hmm. Yes,
mm-hmm. Masters of film universes, if you will. Real
lifelong comic nerds.
Mm-hmm. Dorks. Yes.
Okay, and that one was uncalled for.
I don't know. Ouch. Felt appropriate. anyway, so I'd like to ask what I like to do at the beginning of these before I reveal the fan film treat that I have chosen from you for you guys. I want to know maybe, you know, just some of your favorite universes and stuff like that. Pogues, what are some of your favorite worlds to dive into?
I mean, probably the one I own the most memorabilia, books and all that crap from is Star Wars, which I know is kind of a generic answer, but you know, well, I can't help when I was born.
That's fine. I mean, I personally have been getting really into Star Wars lately, specifically Jar Jar Binks.
And this is why we don't really hang out outside of podcast recordings.
That could be what it is, but I will throw in the plug right now that if you go to Instagram and go to Misa Jar Jar Binks 69, you will see beautiful fan art of Jar Jar Binks that has been submitted and curated by myself. Hopefully Pogues, a beautiful artist, will submit some of his own pieces.
I don't even know if I want to type that into my Instagram because I'm afraid, you know, Facebook monitors everything you do. They'll just start showing me only Jar Jar Binks recommendations.
Yeah, you have a real fucked algorithm.
I mean, I'm more a fan of the classic, the original trilogy.
Same.
Because that was my formative years.
Very understandable. How about you, Ben? What sort of worlds do you like to dip yourself into?
So I probably could answer a few things, but one that's come up recently is I've been revisiting some of the game series that a few people know called The Elder Scrolls. People probably are familiar with Skyrim, but I have a big adoration for the series because I was playing all the way back to Morrowind when I was like in high school. But I bring it up because I've been replaying Oblivion, which is the follow up to Morrowind, and it has over 100 books in it. Like, the developers spent time to write up to 100... And then there are short books. Some of them are quite long.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, like, tell, like, multi-chapter stories of characters that aren't in the game. Like people went to lengths to write encyclopedias on stuff that isn't in the game.
Wow.
It is astonishing. There is even smut.
Tell me more.
Famously, a book called The Lusty Argonian Maid is found in the world and throughout many chapters. But I just can't fathom the work that went into like creating like literature that absolutely 95% of all players would like look at and then like immediately drop for the sword that is sitting right next to it. Like who's like cracking open like one of these books to read about like an ancient king that died 1,000 years before this game started? I just think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a wild. I like, is that a developer just a real nerd and wants to write their own short fiction so they've gotten into this is how they can do it?
I mean, it must be. I mean, and a lot of the books reference the same events again in the fictional time. So it means that like they all worked together, right? Which I assume in one stupid Google document to fashion all these insane pieces of fictional literature together for presumably no one. So it's just kind of pretty fascinating to me.
Yeah, I can't imagine like writing a chaptered book and then, you know, 300 words or something, right? And then being like, I'm going to hide it somewhere that will be hard to find.
Right? Exactly.
God.
Yeah.
Well, funny you say that, because for you I have porn of... No, I don't.
Oh, no.
I have something for you guys that is, I guess, the original... the source material is one of the more common, more famous universes. It is of Batman.
Never heard of him.
Oh, we're familiar.
Okay, wait, you're familiar. Pogues is not familiar. Ben, how would you describe Batman then so Pogues knows what we're about to get into?
Well, Batman's a big deal for our podcast. It was our first episode of the 1989 Batman.
Well, this is weird for Pogues then, isn't it?
Was our first episode. Pogues has totally blanked
I've just come out of a fugue state.
A really weird movie because it's like, it's before our time a little bit. We both would have been like, children when it came out. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's much more beloved by people beyond us in years a little bit. But we watched it with fresh eyes, and it's a fucking hot mess.
It's definitely an experience.
Our take on it led to a little bit of of I can't believe you response from some people who listen to it. But we stand by it.
There was some surprising backlash for one, people listening to a comedy podcast, and two, people who were like, that movie was great. And I was like, it's on Netflix. It's free. Go watch it right now. And a couple of the people who were like really angry with our takes came back and they were like, all right, you made some good points.
I'll tell you what's really fun. I recently, over Christmas, not because it's a Christmas movie, but turns out it was coincidentally, Batman Returns. I think, well, a dumb as hell movie. Very fun.
Yes, I don't know how to say strong disagree on somebody else's podcast.
Just like that.
I'm a guest. I'm trying to be polite.
It's fair.
Is that sorry? Which one is? I've lost complete control.
That's Penguin.
Yeah, Penguin. Okay, and Catwoman. Catwoman.
Yes, that movie is basically a Catwoman origin story film that they lie and tell you it was a Batman movie.
Yeah, Batman's in it almost none.
That's fair.
Penguin is weird and creepy.
Oh, his Michelle wet Pfeiffer's little the best butt part. Is throughout all the movie. My sweet friend was very upset about it the whole time.
Well, that's because he's like always leaking.
Yeah, he is. His butt, he's always wearing those long johns, and he's got like a dirty,
yeah, they're
wet,
always
long
dirty
butt
in the crotch region. Yeah. Something like some black ichor is coming out of his mouth all the time.
Oh, it's so good. It's so gross. But that's my kind of game. You know?
Batman
like
spends 85% of the movie in the Batmobile or just not as Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Catwoman's not in this. Joker's not in this. Well, no, Joker might be in this. Okay. Penguin's not in this. What I've got for you is a fan film called Batman Dead End. It's an older fan film that has it's on YouTube. It's been remastered, so it looks, all right.
A remastered fan film.
I don't know what that means. I honestly.
When's the special edition come out?
Hopefully soon. We'll see what happens. I mean, maybe it never. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a short 7.5 minutes or so. And why don't we jump into it now? And we can see how we feel about it afterwards.
Let's do it. Now, Mike, when you say this was remastered. You mean that George Lucas took a run at it, or?
Yeah.
I enjoy these just basically wearing, like, one of the shirts I wear underneath t-shirts, because I still think it's 1994.
I mean, I gotta say, this is a higher quality, like, film work than I expected.
That's a pretty cool shot.
That is a pretty cool shot. That is not a bad Joker, honestly.
But these eyebrows are.
What? 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 That is a xenomorph? Why is there a xenomorph? Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yep.
It's Predator, I was just kidding, but he's here now.
It's all of it!
I mean, for a fan film, this is, like, really well done. Look at this. I mean, how did they know this many people with Predator costumes?
Well, boys. Woof. We just watched Batman Dead End.
Yeah, which apparently originally premiered at San Diego Comic-Con in 2003.
Oh, did it say that in the credits? I didn't see that.
No, I looked it up.
Oh, you've been doing the research that I should have been doing.
Yeah.
Classic Mike.
Oh, yeah, baby. Wow, okay. Well, that makes sense then. Because
yeah, I mean, it's high caliber fan.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's effectively one large fight scene. It's a 7-minute long fight scene.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of dialogue.
I want to be clear here that there's been some response from some notable comic book heavy hitters. Kevin Smith called it possibly, quote, possibly the truest, best Batman movie ever made.
Holy shit!
I mean, in his defense, it's pretty accurate to Batman.
And Alex Ross praised it as Batman the way I've always wanted to see him.
Okay. Well, okay, with that info, Pogues, can you give the real quick synopsis of this 7.5 minute long fight scene?
Sure. So the movie starts with a newscast alerting us that the Joker has escaped from Arkham Asylum, and that's over a scene of Batman getting dressed in the weakest of the costumes in this film, but probably the most traditional rendition of Batman, like a guy in a tights and a cape.
He's just a guy, right? Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Batman's just a fella.
He found a cool Batman.
He has a lot of money and
he found a spirit mask at the spirit store and then threw it on to fight
crime.
Yeah.
His plan is criminals are going to be scared of bats. I'm not 100% sure why he thinks that's a universal fear, but we don't need to go into Batman's background.
No.
He chases the Joker into what I think is like a some sort of warehouse or box thing. Him and Joker have a little bit of dialogue.
They do. They talk
for a
bit.
It's very rainy. There's a pretty cool shot of Batman landing on the ground with his cape splayed out in like sort of Frank Miller style. They get into a fight. Joker has sort of traditional Joker dialogue about Batman creating him. He also calls him Daddy, which was kind of upsetting.
You made me Daddy.
And then as he's laughing and sort of backs up, and there's a way too long shot of his face as he laughs, they cut back to Batman, and then boom, the Joker gets picked up by a xenomorph.
What?
From the Alien franchise.
That's not from Batman's.
No, it's
is not from Batman. No, that is
it
correct.
Is from it's sort of out of place. Then the xenomorph jumps on Batman. Batman's trying to fight it off when all of a sudden the three dots from Predator appear on its head, and the classic Predator shoulder cannon thing that sounds like a whip cracking shoots it off, and then Batman turns and sees a full Predator, and the two of them have a fight scene that ends with Batman slowly beating the Predator, and as he's sort of looking down at his defeated foe, three more Predators show up, and then two more xenomorphs fade to black.
Oh, man. Now, God, Ben, you said this premiered in 2003 at Comic-Con?
Yes, that is what my intensive research has proven.
Well, Alien vs. Predator, the film franchise, didn't start till 2004, so this must have been a real...
Well, the franchise is based off of
We have covered it in our podcast,
1989 comic book. Now, was Batman in that comic book?
No, but there is Batman vs. Predator, which came out in, I want to say, like, 91?
Okay.
Early 90s? Real early 90s? In which Batman fights the Predator. He shows up in Gotham, and then they have a fight. And I believe at some point there's a Batman versus Alien.
What the fuck? In 2007, there's a Superman and Batman versus Aliens and Predator.
Yeah, it's a pretty common holdover for some reason.
Well, I mean, they're badass fighters, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's just the idea of, like, everybody loves Batman, everybody loves the Predator. Like, wouldn't it be cool to see those two fight?
Yeah.
I guess.
And we got to see it literally through... a fan's dreams.
I'm sorry. What? Michael, I'm sorry.
What?
I was trying to confirm Pogues' assumption about the Joker character, and there's two things that are about the Joker, the actor for the Joker.
Okay.
One is that he did indeed pass away.
That's unfortunate.
Okay, yeah, it was very sad.
He also played Boner in Growing Pains.
Wow, that's
what?
A pedigree there.
That's Boner?
That's Boner, Richard Boner Stabone, best friend to Kirk Cameron's character, Mike Seaver, in all four seasons of ABC's Growing Pains.
His name is Richard Boner?
His name is Richard Koenig, but his character's name is, or Andrew Koenig, his character name is Richard Boner, in quotes, Stabone.
So Dick Boner.
His name's Dick Stabone, also known as Boner.
Yeah, all right, that checks out. On a family sitcom from the...
He also voiced Ambush in the G.I. Joe cartoon.
Okay.
But yes, so that was Boner.
Wow.
as the Joker in that sequence. That is something else.
That, Jesus Christ, that's wild.
Yeah, I did not know that. I told Mike after he started this, I had actually seen this before, being a lover of Batman and comic book films and The Predator. How could it not have eventually found its way in front of me?
Oh, certainly. Fuck. Well, thank you guys for helping me like research this too, because I certainly did not look into it. I just found it and thought I needed to...
Well, I want you to draw your attention to one thing. I know that this is not great podcast material, but you'll notice in our call chat here, I posted an image.
Yes, you have.
That image is of a man named Dragon Dronet, who we saw in the credits.
Oh my god!
Predator.
Yes, it
holy
is.
Shit! This guy is sitting in the mouth of some sort of animal.
Oh my! He is an armor smith, and you can see in this image that he has smithed a sword, a full set of like insane armor, and he is sporting a fucking saxophone.
I think that's what sets it off. He's like in some sort of weird mouth throne that's glowing. He has a sword, a full set of armor with like a face as a pauldron, and then he's just holding a saxophone.
This picture is posted in the post on the website. Holy shit, dude. This is this was one of the Predators, right? Or was he one of the Xenomorphs?
Yeah, this was one of the Predators at the end.
This is one of the Predators. God. I'm not sure which one.
We could not help but notice in the credits.
Yeah, well, this makes sense then, because we were talking about how like the costumes for the Xenomorphs and the Predators were so good.
The Predators look like studio quality.
Yeah, so people spent thousands of dollars on their costumes. And they must have just like, you know, internet forumed.
I imagine in... sort of as Ben brought it up, I do remember there was a thing when this came out that they were talking about they were going to release a movie at San Diego Comic-Con. It was going to be Batman vs. Predator. So I imagine they went, because there is a guy, you know, I live in Ohio, and the local comic convention where I live, there is a dude who showed up in what I assume had to be a several thousand dollar that he handmade Predator costume that made him 7 feet tall.
That's wild.
It was absurd. So I imagine they must have called really good cosplayers and just been like, do you want to stand in the rain?
Honestly, it's the time frame that's the most impressive, because nowadays with like the prevalence of social media, there's actually quite a lot of people who like make a living basically being professional cosplayers on the internet. But 2003 is not one of those times. So to like own a Predator costume like before it was like something you could profit off of is just, I mean, just big round of applause.
Well, now that I've done a little more research on the director of this, this is the longest Not Quite Canon we've ever done here. Sandy Kolara, apparently he is a creature designer and a sculptor. Worked on designing concepts and sculpting and storyboardings and art direction. Claims to have designed the logo for Jurassic Park.
Claims
design. Yeah, that's a weird wording in Wikipedia, right? I mean,
it's not a good sign for you as a person who designs something if it's stated claims.
Yeah, well, he started becoming, it's according to Wikipedia, he in 88 is when he started his career as a creature designer and sculptor, so it would check out. And why, but he's also done work apparently like design work for Men in Black, Dogma, The Arrival, The Crow, and Predator 2. So that all brings it around. So maybe these are studio fucking Predator outfits. If he worked on Predator 2.
I just assume, I mean, you've seen Predator. I guess there are extra Predators in that one. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe they somehow got the license to use them.
Shit, man. That explains some of this stuff then. Because he does this for a living, I guess. So it makes a lot of sense.
But I mean, as far as even though, I mean, even if he is a professional, I mean, this is clearly filmed in somebody's like spare time.
Oh, certainly.
And in 2003, you have to remember, like, digital cameras were sort of just becoming a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this was probably filmed on actual film.
Yeah, this might have been.
Or it could have been, I guess it could have been VHS, but that would be kind of awkward. But I mean, he actually had to take time and have like a real camera. It's not like, you know, not that I'm like downplaying people now, but I mean, like, if you have like a smartphone.
Yeah.
You can record in like 4K.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
So you can basically record something in your backyard that looks like you did it with, you know, a pretty nice camera. Back then, you actually had to have some knowledge of how cameras worked.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. Okay, so this actually, we're just going to keep going with this. This was supposed to be a director's demonstration reel. That's why he made it, just to be like, look it, I can direct something.
I mean, I will say too, in watching this, it is actually not that badly done. I mean, like, there's a great shot of Batman when he first lands with his cape sprawled out around him, and he stands up, and it does, like, in a cartoon where, like, way too much cape goes up into a person.
yeah.
The shots of, like, the Predator are well-framed. Other than a couple of, like, weird shots of, like, way too, like, close-ups that last too long, it's not that bad.
No, not at all. Okay, well, this brings us to the classic way we end every episode, which is fan it or damn it, I believe.
What do you mean you believe? It's your show.
Well, here's the thing. A little peek behind the curtain. The three of us recorded something else previously, and we had so many jokes, and it was so good, but we lost the audio for it. But Ben did call me out with a thing that was like, oh, Mike, it's your favorite, your famous ending, fan it or damn it. And so that has become the thing for this, through a lost episode that has actually maintained and stayed within this.
So what you're saying is the best part of your podcast, Ben, made up. Okay, let's move on.
Ben is the reason for the season.
I mean, if that's the case, guys, you should really listen to that other podcast Ben's on, Not Another Origin Story.
Well, of course I'm a fan it, but also, Mike, I gotta ask, am I getting residuals on this?
Yeah, I'll send you some of the profits we make off of this.
All right, thank God.
Right, -$8.
Damn.
So, Ben, you say you're a fan it?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, just for that fucking Frank Miller cape land, I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah. How about you, Pokes? Fan it or damn it?
Oh, definitely fan it. I mean, I'm shocked at how well, like, how good this looks. I mean, it's really well done. The costumes are amazing. The directing's not bad. The dialogue's pretty good. I mean, for a 7-minute film, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. Fan it as well. It's a demonstration reel. It's a fight scene. It's great. The costume's fantastic. Highly recommend checking it out. It's on YouTube. I'll have a link in the website here to check it out. And speaking of checking stuff out, boys, you fight over who says it, but where can people find Not Another Origin Story?
You can find it at, well, you can search any podcast app or like application you listen through. If you listen through like Google or Amazon, all those places, if you just search for Not Another Origin Story, we're on Stitcher and all that stuff. You can also go to soundcloud.com/NAOSpod. That's also for our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all the same, and they have a link to the podcast.
Fantastic. Is there anything else people should know about you guys? Any secrets? No? Okay.
I'm a sucker for chocolate, and I'm also weak to kryptonite.
What are your weaknesses, Pogues?
My weaknesses are ironically sweet chocolate.
Ironically sweet chocolate. Interesting. All right.
Yeah. If you give it to me in sincerity, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
So it's ironic chocolates only.
You can get that at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Any chocolate you buy at a Spencer's, I'm in trouble.
Oh, boy. <There's still laughs> Anything shaped like a vagina that is chocolate.
Yeah, it's definitely a penis, but.
Oh, shit. Well, seriously, check out their podcast, people. I'm on it a good handful of times. If you're looking for a way in, I know I'm not that with some stuff. I'm on it a bunch, but you don't need me. It's fucking great.
No, I will say, if you're going to listen and you do want a gateway, you cannot pick better episodes than the one Mike's are on. He's probably one of my favorite guests we have on.
Oh, big time.
That's why we always try to work him in. Yeah, he also has the pain of watching some of the worst movies, which usually end up being the best episodes because there's so much
there's
to talk
more to
about.
Talk about, right? If you like a movie, sometimes it's hard to just be like,
yeah, there's a couple of episodes we have where we're both like, these are pretty good, and they're like 40 minutes long.
Yeah, we find that on B-Movie Mania too. Like, it's if something's just enjoyable, it's what do you got to say about it, you know? It's fun.
Yeah, it's hard to just be like, here comes a podcast where we're gonna talk about how great this was.
Yeah,
luckily I'm a curmudgeon, so I hate almost everything.
Yeah, we just bring you on to sad sack everything.
Oh, yeah, I'm a real Eeyore.
Well, thank you both very much for being on another episode of Not Quite Canon, the spinoff from B-Movie Mania, where, as everyone knows, we watch fan films. Bye.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They're touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Outro as good as the intro.
Polished.
It's supposed to be awkward. It's intentional. No, it's
sure.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's what I tell Ben when I'm not funny. I'm like, it was intentional.
Okay, goodbye for real.
Oh, you're still.